Ha'adam tzarech she'azoriz v'gibor chayel lama negitzar. A person needs to be a zoriz and a gibor chayel. Generally speaking, if you've noticed, the way that the Maral does Nesivas Olam is he will say like a phrase about something, then he'll bring Chazal, explain the Chazal, and so on. So, like in the beginning of Perek Beis, Adam Nivra Chisorn Batzmo, then he brings Chazals that fall along that line of idea, and each one in a different way. It's sort of, it's a bit of a loose way, so he'll make an introductory statement. So whenever he's making an introductory statement, it's kind of going to be a caption for the Chazals that he's bringing. So he's really, in a sense, letting the Chazals talk, but he's giving you sort of a caption, and this is no different, this is significant. Ha'adam tzarshi azoriz v'gibochayel lam negitzar. Person needs to be a zoriz and a gibochayel. Now, he's going to, it almost seems as if it's as trite as can be. I mean, if you tell somebody, you really have to work hard to defeat the Yetzirah, I mean, the person would look at you and say, okay, and like, what's the line? Like, where's the punchline? I mean, yes, you need to be strong, and there's a punchline. The word is zoriz, and he's going to go on the Chazal without even going into it. The Chazal says that Yitzo Shal Adam Mischadish Shal B'Chol Yom. In other words, the word zoriz implies a sort of proactive hischadshus of sorts. Now, anytime something is as was, for instance, let's say a person has some sort of ailment, let's say his foot is drags a bit or whatever it is. So it requires a certain training to how to deal with it, how to cope with it. Once you finish that, so you sort of stay with it. And you as you've trained yourself, so you go ahead with it. Anything that doesn't change, you work out a system, you become good at the system, and then you put it on autopilot. So somebody who had a problem with a leg that started, didn't work so well, so he's trained himself how to deal with it, and then he just goes with it. If Yetzirah was a certain level of, problem X, so once you learn how to deal with problem X, and you sort of get into the habit, that's it. It doesn't require any zrizus on your part, but in the Yetzirah, since he's going to speak about the Mischadish Olav, that's going to become a very significant piece of it. So the person needs to be a Zoriz is always going to need to move proactively against it rather than just sort of, as was. It is one of those issues that confound people, and it's difficult. When a person is in yeshiva, a person has years that he really sort of pushes himself. So a teenager, from 14, 15 until he's 20 or so, a person is struggling with his yetzer, pushing his yetzer tov, and the person does a lot of things that he puts into place until he gets into a place that he feels this is good. And, I'm learning shtark, and I'm davening, I'm doing the right things, and so on and so forth. And the person, there's no reason why the person needs to continue in any proactive way. Now he can put that on autopilot. He's not going to become what he was 5 years ago, and he's past that, and it's true. And so he sort of is happy to stay where he is. But the koach of the Yetzirah comes up with new things. And the person not being so proactive and sort of being content to let things sit as they are, finds himself having drifted. It's like when you take a boat and you put it out, you put it in a dock next to the dock, and you finally made it to the dock, and you don't anchor it, or you don't keep rowing, and there's a small tide that keeps pulling you outwards, you float out. So Yetzirah is mischadish v'chol yom, and therefore the person needs to constantly expend effort. So he explains, well, why is the Yetzirah mischadish v'chol yom? What does that tell us about the Yetzirah? Anything that's new has a stronger effect, because anything that's sort of and reached a status quo, it's a status quo. But when you have something that is infusing new things, it's very, very different. And therefore the person needs to be mizdaris. Why is that? Umasham shetzarim eschash b'chol yoyim dovaza inyan amok ma'od b'inyi yetzara shepol bada. It's very, very, there's a deep inyan over here about the yetzara in a person. Ki, hayetzara afol pi shepol ba'odam, mikol makom inyi yetzara min ha'odam klal nechshav kimo sheizbayar. So, the Maral is talking about a point that Rabbi Sol Salanter famously addresses about, do we see the Yetzirah as the person's natural netiyas of his flesh? The fact that a person sees a woman and he's attracted to it, that's part of a person's body. It doesn't require any great malach coming down and saying, look at her, or whatever it is. It's the normal biological reaction of a person. Or is the Yetzirah a koach that comes from outside, a malach whose job is to constantly test you and to see how you're doing? So Rabbi Sol Salanter brings rayas and shitas on both sides, and his conclusion is basically that both are true. There is an element of the Yetzirah that is part of the person's natural body, and then there's an outside force. I think if we look at it the way Ramchal speaks about it, it's started the other way around. When a person was born before the Chet, his body was fairly in equilibrium, and the body didn't want things that weren't good. And it's once the person was Nichshal, the Yetzirah is pictured in the Pasuk as the Nachash coming. The Nachash is an outsider who comes and tempts you. Then once you get into it, it's your own thing. And we became a kulkul. We have a very simple example for that. Drugs, Rahman al-Islam. Nobody has an inherent craving for drugs. Nobody started his first shot because he said, I must have, heroin or something, or crack. Somebody told him, it's great, it's fantastic, it's just marvelous, it's wonderful, and whatever it is, it'll solve your problems, the world's problems, so on. But then once a person begins to use it, now his own body is craving it, and he wants it. And that's a very apt description of the way Ramchal presents it. The Adam's guf was fairly in equilibrium with his neshama, and therefore something that wasn't good for you, the person had no inside desire for it. And then as soon as the Yetzirah came around, as soon as the Nachash got him into it, he developed an appetite for it. And then now the person's body wants that which is ra. So the resources both are true, and he's pushing in terms of this chazal, the mischadish part comes from the outside koach. Ki ayetzarah fagav shepol b'adam, even yetzahara acts within us. In other words, we don't hear an outside nachash coming around and saying, you know, maybe you should taste this or that or the other thing. We feel it. We always feel these things welling up inside us. It's an outside thing. It's not part of the person. So he says, first of all, he says, the Yetzirah is something outside of the person. And he says, the Yetzirah has no metzias rishon, because Ra has no metzias, and therefore it's mischadosh chayev. The sentence over here is an extraordinarily powerful sentence. And let's explain what it encompasses. I think we've spoken probably in the past about the Ramban in Nitzavim, where he speaks about taiva. And he says, since taiva never is a real need, then no matter how much you try to satisfy it, you are not going to be satisfied. Let's take an example. Let's take an example of something that we really have a need for and not a desire. A person is very thirsty. So he has a need for water. A person drinks cold water. As long as he's thirsty, that water is awesome. As soon as he finishes drinking his fill, and I don't know, some scientists say it's not enough, or whatever it is, the person is no longer thirsty. Come over to a person who's drank his fill and give him a glass of cold water, and the person will politely decline it. It doesn't, drinking water when you're thirsty does not create any need for more water. The thirst is a gauge, an accurate gauge of a need. Let's take an example of food, for instance. Food is not like that. I'm hungry, so I have a need for food, and I gulp down supper, and I like the taste of it, and I will keep eating more and more of it, despite the fact that I don't have a taste, because I enjoy the eating. Now, what's interesting is, and this is part of what Ramban says, so let's say the first time in my life that I've eaten, I don't know, chocolate cake, something really good and tasty, it makes you crazy. Wow, this is just awesome. The fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth time that you eat it, it's okay, it's good, it's nice, but it no longer gives you the high that it gave you the first time. And when somebody comes along with a different type of cake, we're going to, okay, you're going to call back. Hello?
Hi, we're back, Robert.
You're back, okay. So I left you in the middle of the chocolate cake, or we moved on to the strawberry cake? Which one did we?
The first time you ate chocolate cake.
Yeah, so the person is really, and then it begins to sort of, it's not so great, and then somebody comes up with like strawberry shortcake, and that's wow. And the reason is, because since it doesn't have a substance within itself, then the appetite is really divorced from any real, it can't be met, because it's the tease that gets you. The Ramban says it's by Arias. A person's yitzhar for Arias is incredible. But if the person has satisfied it through one avenue, it becomes boring. The whole industry of Arias, whether the stuff that's written, the stuff that's designed, all of it works on this principle that the person is never satisfied with what he craved for. He craves tremendously for something. Once he's filled himself with it, it doesn't give him the high anymore. And now he's on, needs to go on to something more exciting, different exciting. You know, if a person has, if let's say there's a certain picture that this makes the person's day, but the next month the magazine needs to have more pictures, because what happened, I thought this was like the ultimate. The answer is there was no ultimate, because I wasn't craving anything. It was a koach to crave. It wasn't attached to something real. And therefore, he says, if ra would be a substance, let's go back to something good. If something good is a family, a solid, happy family. A person has a family, and that functions as a family should. A person is very happy with that, very satisfied. Nobody wakes up in the morning and he says, you know, I'm so happily married to my wife, wonderful kids. How about I get a new wife and have some more wonderful kids? Doesn't work that way. The satisfaction deepens itself because there's real substance there. A family is something of substance. Masha Ein Kein Taiva has no substance. So when a person is filled up on a taiva, no matter how strong the taiva was, next time round, a new taiva will tempt him. And he's going to want something else. And that's what Ramban says. Ramban says, you go from crazy taiva to crazier taiva because it's never going to satisfy you. The same thing with money, you know, and everything. If the person's appetite is in line with needs, then these are his needs, and that's that. If a person is tempted because he saw a new shmanza, so it's not, you know, if I'm living at $100,000, then if I only have 200, then I would have everything I need. No, if a person would have 200, he would realize what kind of exciting things there are. If you have 500, it ain't a double safe. So the the those things that don't have substance, then it's always with chiddush, and that's what the Maral says in one line. The reason why it's called is mischadish. He doesn't have a real substance. I remember when we were young, there was this classic joke, a boy-girl joke, about one girl starts telling the other girl about this fantastic boy she just met, and the instant she put her eyes on him, she knew this is the one, and so on and so on and so forth. And she interrupts him and says, "Yeah, you told me about it last week already." She says, "No, that was somebody else. This is the real guy." The Yetzirah Nisim is Chadish because there's no substance, so it's always the new high rather than something of real substance that the person has. And he says the reason is because Ra has no real Metzias. So the things that the Ra exists only in the T's and in a spike of Hana. And once it's gone, there's nothing left there. When a person does good things, a person is doing mitzvahs, when they do ma'aseh tov, a person is building, and so on. Let's take an example. A person sits to learn. So that the hour that he spent learning, when it's finished, he feels good about it, and it sort of is his. When he had a great time, it's over, and now he's. It doesn't. When you tell a kid, last week you had such a great trip, so this week you don't need one. It doesn't work because that's not at all what the trip is. There's no metzias be'etzim to it. Ulekach oma ki mischadish bechol yoy. Ukvayzbar kadovish ubischadish lo hu yosipol ba'adam. And the reason, so Chazal are telling us the reality of the Yitzhar is that it's mischadish bechol yoyim. And the reason the Maral explains to us why that's so is because his metzias lies in the chiddush of a davar, and it lies in the because there is no real metzias to the things they are selling, and then he says it makes it much more difficult for a person. If Yitzhara would be a real sensation in the person, so let's say I need X amount of food. Let's go back to the food machine. So let's say a person of my height and weight needs a kilo of food a day. So that kilo, he said, we wouldn't say it's mischadish. I mean, every day, this is my height, this is my weight, this is my need. But if it comes outside the person, so I wouldn't call this mischadish. This is a gauge of who I am and what I am, as opposed to something coming from the outside. So let's understand it, apply to person. So when we talk about the Yetzer being outside a person, inside a person, we're not talking about a Yetzer Hara coming to the person and knocking on the door and saying, "Reb Yankel, I think today is a great day for an Aveira." I know little kids, they have the cute thing, they learn a Cheda and they come back and say, "It's hard to say this, it's hard to say that." What do we mean an outside inside? L'mayin afkamina, if it's a Malach Avril somewhere up there, Shemayim, or it's my own Kishkas, what's the difference? The answer is, in our sensation, the Yetzer is always coming from inside. The question is, in our own Kochos Haguf, my stomach sends a message that it needs food. That's a pneumisticker thing. So the food that my stomach needs, the kilo of food that my stomach needs, that's a pneumisticker. It's coming from me, and it's me, and that's good. And then the fantasy of this fantastic cake, that's an outside thing. It's not coming from my needs. It's sort of a psychological desire that's being planted onto my stomach. And that's a very, very different type of feeling than it is than something that's engaged. So again, going back to drinking water. Drinking water is a real, it's coming from the person, it's his needs, and as soon as it's finished, it's finished. A person, same thing with sleep, let's say. A person who sleeps because it's his body's need, So when his body finishes sleeping the amount of time it needs, he wakes up and he's restless to move on. A person who sleeps because he's an atzel, or because he's depressed, whatever it is, and the sleep has no shaykhus to the needs of the guf. It's not. It's coming from something other than his self. And therefore, it's mischadish. It's a chiddish to the person. It's not the person himself.
So he gives an example of Shmi and Riyah. These are kohos that are me, myself. A person sees and hears every day the same.
I mean, at some point it gets a little weaker, but it never gets stronger. Rak ha-yitzahara nechshav chadashelav. Yitzahara is an outside force, and it is injecting things that are not part of the person. So outside or inside is a measure of is it my needs coming out, or is it some fantasy impressing itself on myself? So one reason is just an exact explanation of what Koach HaRa has to be, and why it's a chiddush, and why a person is especially effective if it's chiddush.
I think he means, I'm guessing a drop at this one. He's saying another reason, and he's almost making the Yetzirah into a great thing. He's saying that the Koach of Yetzirah is something that comes outside of the Bria. I think what he means as follows. Adam HaRishon was created to v'chai le'olam. Adam HaRishon was created to live. So the Metzias of Adam is a chai. I once heard, and heard it actually a few times, the following nekuda. We're sensible and rational people. And one of the things we all know is that we're going to die someday. That's a given. And yet, emotionally, nobody is willing to accept it. Why? I mean, you know, it's so irrational. Our emotions should be in line with who we are, with the reality. And if the reality is people die, so why is dying? Why is a person resistant? Person is something at its very core is something he resists. And the answer is because since we were not engineered to die, Adam mitzad Suras Adam should have been living forever, or whatever arrangement there was, I would have gone to Om Habasrit, or whatever. But Misa was a niknesa on the Bria, so Misa is something not natural, and therefore I resist it. It's just like a person, Lamashal. If a person is missing an aver, and it's hard for him to function, the person feels very sad, very down. And nobody feels bad, or let's put it sad or depressed, that doesn't have wings. If we'd have wings like birds, we'd be able to get out of traffic jams. We wouldn't have to sit through economy class flights forever. It would be good. But and yet nobody walks around depressed that he doesn't have wings. I mean, there may be some people, but I haven't met them. And why? And you know, having limbs is good, but you know, people can function without also. It's more difficult. It's not easy. But slow people. The answer is because since it's normal for us to have limbs, our body is, our psyche is built that's our expectation. This is who we are. This is what we should be. If we're missing something, then we are
we're missing something. That's how we view it. On the other hand, wings, since we don't see ourselves as having wings, then we're not missing it. The same thing with other abilities. People, a person who has less abilities than average is upset. A person who has good abilities, but there are people with much greater abilities, not so upset. Because, again, whatever a person perceives as being the norm that he's shalom with, if that which is different, unusual, less than norm, that he has a problem with. Here it's also like that. If a person has a sense of things, and so a person's, since his etzem bria was supposed to be a chai, so we have a problem with misa. Since Adam is supposed to be tov, and so all the ra comes from some outside koach that is there to check us. And it's coming not from within us, in that sense, but it's drawing, just like if we can, the best way to picture it is the Satan by Eov. Eov was doing his things, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Satan, it's your job to challenge him and to prove that he's as great as he looks. And the Satan says, okay, I need a mandate and I need some tools. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, everything but a shotgun you have. You can't kill him, anything else works. So it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tossing in an outside koach, because Adam Mitzat Atzma is Tov. Adam Mitzat Atzma should be Tov. And therefore it's coming from Lamala Ben HaShemesh, which means it's an outside force that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Bria. The Eitz Hadas is an outside pre, which a person has to take in. Therefore, it's Mischadosh B'chol Yom. In other words, within the Bria itself, there's no real chiddush. Anything within the Bria itself is set. And chiddush can only come from things outside. Almost by definition. You know, in almost the core definition of teva, when you define a physical area, that anything moving will keep moving, and then the caveat is unless something outside changes it. In other words, everything in within teva, and it's almost a definition of teva, is keeps as is. That's teva. The inertia, the status quo, is as is, and unless a outside force is unless an outside force is put on it, is thrust on it. Since Ra is something that is not, so if Ra were within the Bria, it would at some point become totally exposed, and it could not be mechadish itself. It would be what it is. And you know, it's anything mitachas Hashemesh means within the universe, within our universe, within our universe of reality. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing in chiddush, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing in something from outside, and once you bring something outside, that by definition is chiddush. And since it's chiddush, since it's some that's shalok derech hateva, it's mischadish b'chol yoy. So Yetzirah has an extraordinary koach. We need to understand it. The koach to crave things that don't make sense for us, that are not needed by us, that really give us no real happiness, that's an extraordinary koach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu injects into the Bria, which means that it carries in itself a tremendous power, because there's no limit to it. Anything within the Bria is limited. So just like if I treat something for its internal issues, let's say I'm a doctor and I treat a person for all internal problems that he has, I've patched up and fixed up everything inside, and I say, now you're great, you're good to go. But if a microbe comes from the outside, it's undone. because I can't fend, I can't give an infinite amount of power to fend things that are not there. That's why Yetzirah will always be attractive, because there's no end to the new issues, the new taivas, the new things that come up. It's one of the reasons why, you know, if you look over it, every time something new comes to the world, it becomes the great challenge to Yiddishkeit, Arlichkeit, and so on. And then until we sort of develop an immunity to it, or learn how to cope with it, and then time for the next one. Any questions on this piece? The next piece is sort of a bit of a newer piece.
How are you supposed to use this kvach? Is it supposed to put? Are you just supposed to be reactive and deal with it as it comes? Or is there a way you can use this kvach with tachus on the Sadatoy, or so, you have to just deal with it?
So I think the real kvach is tachus comes from Tov, because it's out of teva. If a person's Yiddishkeit stops at rote, whether it's learning, whether it's other nyanim, in other words, for many years, for many centuries maybe, Yiddishkeit and preserving Yiddishkeit was considered to be best when you pickle somebody. You take somebody, you set them in the mold, you keep them that way, that's that. I once, when I was a young boy, was in high school, I went to visit a friend of mine who was in a hospital having some sort of surgery, and the hospital was in Farukta, it was in Harlem someplace in New York, really, really in a bad place. And he told us, he said, you know, there's a Satmar Chos in one of the floors here, and you'd do a big miss if you could go visit him also. So sure, so I went with my two or three friends, we went downstairs, upstairs, wherever he was, and we visited him. We spent a few minutes, I spoke Yiddish fluently, and I think my friends at least understood Yiddish in those days. And it was very nice. And the person was a very nice person. He says, you know, he says, I really appreciate it, and I really appreciate you boys. But he looked at us, you know, we were kind of more modern kids, non-Chassidish, Americanish kids. He says, you know, yes, you're doing great things, and you're good boys, but it's just not the same as by us. By us, the boys become deep-fried in Yerushalayim from a young age. He said a Yiddish word, I don't know how many we use, angepregelt. Angepregelt is sort of deep-fried. And his version, his understanding of the job of chinuch is to sort of deep fry, marinate, cure, or any one of the adjectives for keeping something as it is against all odds. And that was his impression of Yiddishkeit, and it definitely seemed to work better, but in the long run, I think that becomes defeated. We talk about Munkach, which was the strongest, most anti, new things. And if you look at the famous thing, look at the films of Munkach, most of the town was not from anymore. By building up your fortress, it doesn't work. Unless people can feel somehow that they're progressing, whether it's in what they're learning, they feel they're adding more, in the depth of understanding, in opening up new understandings, in growing, unless a person feels his chachos in Tov, then he really can't deal with Ra, because yesterday's defenses don't work against tomorrow's Yetzaris. It's like the French building the Maginot Line and deciding this is going to, this line can never be it can never be broken because it's fantastic. Yes, it was fantastic maybe in 1920. In 1940, it was worthless. Every line of defense, that Yiddishkeit can be maintained purely through the erection of barriers, I think is wrong. If the Yetzirah is mischadish b'chol yom, then it's a tov nisim mischadish. Hachodesh zelochem, all this far speak about it, bleak vul about about the koch of chinuch and chol yisrael. There's a svas emes. It says on vayokem melech chodesh by paro.
So Chazal say it wasn't the Melech Chodesh, it was old Melech who made himself Chodesh. He said, like, what was the problem with Chazal? Why couldn't you just learn a new Melech? Like, what's the problem? And so he says, Chazal were bothered. Where in Mitzrayim was there a koach of Chiddush? Real, genuine Chiddush only comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. And a person learning can always, the Vilna Gaon had what to learn in his last year of his life as well. And it wasn't just Chazara. There was constantly something new. And I think that unless a person has the sense of Chiddush, you know, how he's able to have a new dimension to his Yiddishkeit, I think that that's the, for us, what the Maharal is saying about the Yetzer Hara, I think is very significant in telling us what the Yetzer Tov has to look like. It's one of the reasons why in yeshivas they stress Chiddush Torah, because the feeling of having discovered something new is really, it really propels a person. It really pushes a person. And the only way, again, if it's proven itself forever that no defense, when it sticks to being a defense, is impregnable. There'll come a time when there'll be a way to crack the defense. The only thing that can last is when you're constantly updating things. You're constantly looking forward. And that's, I think, the best, that's the most important chiddush of what he's saying over here. It also is a lesson for a person, when a person has to deal with his taivus and so on, and a person can say to himself, can reason with himself and say, you know, 5 days ago you felt that this is a must, and 4 days ago, after you had your first must, there was a second must, and 3 days ago was a third must, another must. Don't you realize that it's empty air? Don't you realize that it's just, you know, you're not going to satisfy yourself by satisfying your tivus, because this is really endless. There'll always be a new type around the corner that beats the old type, and it's, you know, it's something that begins to, you know, it's funny. I mean, we're a little bit on the older side. I mean, new technology, it gets me kind of annoyed, because my feeling is I'll never have a computer that is there to stay. I mean, every year or two, my kids call up and say, you know, it's so old-fashioned, your computer, and it's so has-been, and it's so this, so that. I don't like that, so I'm never standing on solid ground. I think it's in, so good that these are, but in the big scope of things, if a person honestly retrospects and says, which were the things that I felt I needed, and I actually needed it, and once I had it, I was there, there's no problem, and which things seem to lead to a never-ending cycle of, but now I see that this is better. I think it's a good test when a person, if what a person wanted was real and necessary, then the satisfaction. Those things that a person wanted that come from this area, it always seemed as if there was a steady amount of you know, aspiring. I was speaking to somebody once who, you know, they had issues in family life and so on, and certain things needed change, and I got somebody to work with him on those things. But then I told the person, you know, at some point you need to stop, because these things just keep spiraling. You know, there is, and it's hard to sometimes tell the difference. When are you starved and you actually need some food, and when has it just become a thing in its own? You know, it's understanding that's the dynamic of Yetzer Hara, and in those areas where a person's taiva is especially strong, the person especially is vulnerable to it, I think helps you also make a chesed nefesh and say to yourself, you know, this is the fourth time around, the fifth time around this topic, and somehow whatever seemed to promise me such great satisfaction, time X, and it's X plus one, X plus two, it's going no place. Okay, any other question? I have to go soon, I have to teach earlier today. Okay, so we'll hold it here.
Good Shabbos.
Thank you very much. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.